Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
On WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Here's Johnny.
And happy Tuesday, everyone. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, the coldest team in town, now offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. If you want more information, you can go to their website, gogginkohl.com. A couple of open segments if you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600, 844-5600. Coming up at 4:35, our good buddy Scott Ramsey, President, CEO of not only the Nashville Sports Council, but the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl, getting down to the nitty-gritty. This time, it won't be that, about five more days. We'll know which two teams will be participating on December 30th at Nissan Stadium for this year's version of the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. Also at 5:05, Teresa Walker with the Associated Press talking Titans, Vols, Vandy, and more. And then around 5:35, Ryan Callahan joins us from Knoxville to talk all things Vols. Once again, if you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600. I did, by the way, Jay, ask Ryan, while I was working out when he was coming on, any kind of latest as far as Juwan Jennings.
Yeah, how's that going?
Yeah, but he wasn't. It's not intentional because he wasn't looking. Last time I checked, I don't have to be looking if I know there's something at my, if there's something near my feet. And last time I checked, it was there because I yanked off a helmet and it's right there at my feet. I don't have to be looking down to be stomping.
Nope.
And I go back to what I brought up yesterday. Just think about how worse this could have been. Is the fact that kind of pressure, that foot, the right, landing spot, and we could be talking about somebody losing an eye.
Yeah. Or permanent face damage.
And I don't want to hear it. Well, it didn't happen. It doesn't matter if it did or did not happen. Just the fact that you allowed your emotions to get the best of you in that situation. And, there's just no reason for it, no excuse for it. And look, we saw so many examples of the bad behavior, with the Egg Bowl. I mean, like, really? That was just spontaneous? Let's see.
It was a joke.
Here, my team is a touchdown behind right now, but if I score this winning touchdown, I'm going to get on my all fours and pretend I'm a dog. At what point? We always talk about this, the rule we have on our show.
Mm-hmm.
Throw it out loud, throw it out there in the world, speak it out, you got to just throw it out there as an idea. And if it sounds like a bad idea, it probably is. I don't know at what point, maybe if you're with your drunk Uncle Paul or something at Christmas, that it might be funny if you're on the ground and doing that, hiking your leg on the couch or something in the living room. I don't even know if that would even be a good idea.
No.
Certainly not with that many people watching in a stadium with the game on the line, all the folks watching, filled up with turkey on Thanksgiving night. I don't know how you slice it and dice it. See where I went there with the turkey? Slice it and dice it where that would be a good idea.
No.
Oh, last night during the Monday night game, I had a chance to be, and I always love having a chance to be a guest on the Scott Farrell show, Farrell on the Bench. And it's interesting, and I was thinking about it. He was trying to push me to be a Tennessee Titans homer. Like, for example, this game coming up on Sunday. Easy game. Easy game for the Titans. They just got to worry about Houston. Easy game going out on the West Coast to take on the Oakland Raiders.
in the black hole.
Not a problem at all going out there.
No.
Of course, I had to quickly remind him that the Oakland Raiders are 4-1 at home this year. The fact that prior to this two-game losing streak, they had won 5 out of their last 7 games. There's nothing easy about going into the black hole.
No. And you're not never the same coming out of it.
But then I started thinking, and then he was like, oh, I bet all the fans in Smashville, I bet all the fans are just pumped up and all riding the and just so pleased with the job Mike Vrabel is doing. And it's like, check with us next week.
Yeah, let's see what happens if they lose.
But then I started thinking about why, you know, if because the show's based out of New York. And I started thinking about the attitude from a way that we view the Tennessee Titans here and compared to the way some of the national members of the media view the team. And think about New York. What do they have right now? They have the Jets, the J-E-T-S, Jets, where I can count on one hand years that I could be excited as a lifetime member of the Jets fan club. I mean, literally, 5 decades, I can count on one hand. For me, I was born too late, so I missed the Super Bowl, the third one. And they haven't sniffed it since. Yeah, they've been in the AFC Championship game, 82, the strike season, by the way. That was a year that the no-name Dolphins thought it was a good idea to water the field to slow down the running attack by the Jets. True story. You think the NFL would allow that today?
Probably not.
And then the famous year of 98 with you got Denver and John Elway, and I get the phone call. You got to be happy. Your Jets are going to make it to the Super Bowl. They're up 10-0 at halftime. They didn't score again the rest of the way.
10-0.
It's like, stop. You jinxed it.
Good job.
And then the back-to-back appearances with Mr. Butt Fumble himself. Of course, those 2 years were certainly more about the defense, but both years ending in losses in the AFC title game. So with that, that's it. Those are the years.
And all the rest of them just kind of...
So because of that, and think about the Giants, they're not doing anything. So the Jets are not doing anything. The Giants are not doing anything. There's no college football in New York, right? And so right now, looking at this run by the Tennessee Titans compared to what they have, absolutely, they're excited about the Titans team and what they've done. Unfortunately for us, from our perspective, you know, we're looking like, okay, we're still not over the fact that when we should be running, we're throwing and vice versa. It's great what this Titans team has done with the 3 consecutive wins, 5 wins out of the last 6. But think about it. A lot of the Chargers, not once, not twice, 3 times the Chargers had a chance to win that one. Never felt comfortable in that Tampa Bay game either. And then remember the 17-0 halftime score on the road at Carolina, which was, by the way, the only loss during this stretch. So, and look, even Sunday, 17-17, Adam Vinatieri with a chance to kick a field goal. You know, we're past the midway point there in the fourth quarter. That would be a go-ahead field goal by Indianapolis in that game Sunday.
Yep.
So it's just like, pump the brakes. We're still a game behind Houston. Still got to go out on the West Coast to play Oakland, a team that you're battling out to from a wild card perspective. And you still have Houston not once but twice. And in between those two games, you've got Drew Brees and the Saints coming to town. They're battling it out now with Seattle to be the number one overall seed as far as the NFC side of things. There's nothing easy about the next 4. There's nothing you can take for granted about any of this.
No.
But you can see it from their perspective, from a national standpoint, why they would be certainly more pumped up about the success of this team than we are. We're closer to it. And then, like I said, when you compare what they have in their backyard and to our nice little new toy for Christmas, they would take our toy any day of the week over the Jets and the Giants.
Yeah, and probably even the Yankees and the Mets.
Hey, by the way, we had a really nice – that was a fun game to watch last night between Seattle and Minnesota. And I tell you what, that Seattle crowd, it reminds me of what – for those that are new to Nashville – And because they don't understand when we talk about the magic of that stadium when it was first Adelphia Coliseum, and I've forgotten all the name changes.
LP Field, the LP, and then
it was then Titans after they lost that one, and then now Nissan Stadium.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So the bottom line is that they don't remember what it was like when you had most of the fans in that stadium that were Titans fans. And a Titans fan base that in that 99 season, by the way, when the Titans took on the Colts in the playoff game after the Music City Miracle game when the Titans beat the Bills, that the first time that the Colts had the ball, they couldn't hear. And you were like, how dumb are the Colts fans?
Oh, yeah.
The fact that on offense with Peyton Manning, he can't hear because the fans are too loud. And then you realize that the Titans fans had bought up a lot of tickets there to the point where it was a huge disadvantage for the Colts. So you go from that to what we have today. Watching Seattle, watching the 12th man, watching that environment reminds me so much of what it was like for Titans home games, 99, 2000, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So, and maybe one day we can get that back. But I always have thrown it out there for any sports, for Vanderbilt, for the Titans too. Once you allow apathy to set in, once you go from a happy fan to an angry fan, you want angry. You can deal with angry because you can always do things to turn that anger into satisfaction. But once that anger turns into, I don't care anymore, there's other things I can do. I can go to concerts. I can go to this. I can go to Prez. I can go to other sporting events. I can go to other entertainment venues. I can do a lot more things with my money than spend on a Titans game. Once they allowed apathy to set in, which it did, that's why now you're getting okay crowds. I mean, I'm not even going to say decent.
No,
okay. Because when you've got that many empty seats, and then when you've got a substantial proportion, percentage-wise, of your individuals in that building where you're thinking, I don't know, there might be 55, 60% of the other team's fan base in the building, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like that 20 years ago.
No.
615-844-5600. Once again, a little bit later this hour, chance to visit with Scott Ramsey with the National Sports Council, also talking Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. But once again, if you want to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600. This segment brought to you by friends with Brinkman's Wine and Spirits. You know, Wester, whether hosting a holiday party, could be a Christmas party, birthday, whatever the case may be, or simply just looking for a nice bottle of wine for dinner, you can't go wrong with Brinkman's Wine and Spirits with an impressive array of wines and spirits to choose from. Tim Brinkman and the staff at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, first of all, they'll make you feel welcomed and appreciated when you walk through the doors. And they have a passion for personal service to help you make the best selection for your specific taste and budget. The originator of local bourbon tastings, there's always opportunities to discover new spirits and wine. And if you're looking for gift ideas, because guess what? It's that time of year. They can assist you with suggestions for all occasions. So rediscover Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, located at 7110 Town Center Way. It's just east of Franklin Road and the roundabout by the Brentwood Post Office. Good, better, Brinkman's.
Good afternoon. Watching traffic really pick up out here in the construction, especially there on 440 eastbound at Hillsborough Pike. Wilson Pike Circle at OHB, they're reckoning its clearing stages. Already starting to get busy on 40 east as you make your way through Mount Julian all the way out towards Lebanon. Watch your speed. We've seen quite a bit of radar out here. Hey, it's better to know them than not know them. Free at last bell binds. If you ever need them, call 242-3733. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is George Plaster. I don't pretend to know everything about printing, but my buddy and former BGA classmate James Warren does, and he should. He's the owner of Sir Speedy Music City, Let's talk a little bit about mailing, because that's important.
It is, George. So a lot of people use mailing to get in front of customers. Direct mail, we've got at the end of the year, there's always the big mailers that go out for insurance companies and that sort of things. But we see that mail helps people get in front of their audience. You'd be surprised at how many people actually open an envelope or look at a postcard when it comes to their house. And we can do it cheaper than you can mail it.
And you can do it well. Give people the particulars, phone number, website.
We're at 615-832-9511. Our website is SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. You can reach us at print@SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And as always, when you go in there, you tell them Plaz sent you.
Let's observe the inflatable noodle man. His constant undulating entices people to look at me, look at me. He's tireless and brainless, a literal airhead. Curiously, however, the inflatable noodle man, when hearing that Geico not only saves people money, but also has an award-winning app that makes it easy to manage one's policy, he knows you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Just ask an inflatable noodle man. Carefully, they are unpredictable creatures.
Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM has been your home for sports for 20 years. From typewriters to Twitter, fax machines to Facebook, we have you covered 24/7 and on the go. Finding us online is as easy as at Nash Sports Radio. Twitter, at Nash Sports Radio. SoundCloud, at Nash Sports Radio. Facebook, at Nash Sports Radio. Or search your app store for WNSR. 20 years of sports. Anytime, anywhere. From Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Coal Hall Studios. By the way, if you're going out planning on drinking, then have a plan. Call a friend, call a cab, have a designated driver. But the bottom line is this: drunk you makes bad decisions, so make a plan before you party. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. Coming up on Thursday, it's time to earn some state championships as far as football, being held over at Tennessee Tech's Tucker Stadium, starting on Thursday, Division II, Class A, Davis Academy versus USJ. That's 11 a.m. start time, Jay. And then Class 2A, you got CPA versus ECS. And then the Class 3A, you have McCauley taking on NBA.
Yeah, and McCauley's trying to They made it to the state championship for the first time since 06 and looking to try and win their first one in a long time. And NBA won it a few years ago, and they've got a rich tradition. This is their 16th state title game that they have played in, so this will be pretty special.
How about the fact that on Friday you've got well, let's look at Saturday. On Saturday, the Class 2A, Class 4A, Class 6A, but Maryville, you know, they took care of business against Oakland last game. And now to win the state championship, they have to beat Ravenwood. I mean, and a combined, by the way, Maryville's 14-0, Ravenwood 13-1 in that one. But first on Friday, Class 1A Greenback, which is, by the way, very familiar with Greenback because
that's just where your wife's neck of the woods
that's
is.
My wife's, that's where her parents live. And so, and look, that is a community that they love their football there. But here's, you know, you can always count on Greenback and Maryville having outstanding football programs, it seems like.
Yeah.
And this has been going on for a while for both of these. But Greenback 12-2 taking on Lake County. Class 3A on Friday. It'll be the afternoon game at 3. Hey, how about Pearl Cone? A chance to have their best season ever in the history of their program. They're 14-0 taking on Alcoa. Alcoa 13-1. So two best teams. Let it be decided on the football field. And then on Friday night, the Class 5A title will be decided between Summit and Knoxville Central. And then we talked about Saturday's games, the nightcap, the Class 6A affair with Maryville-Ravenwood. Before that, though, Saturday morning, 11 a.m., Meigs County versus Peabody. And then the after noon game at 3, Springfield. Good luck to them. 11-3 on the year, taking on an unbeaten Elizabethton school, a team that's 14-0.
Yeah. And that's where Jason Witten went to school that, of course, plays with the Cowboys and was a Tennessee Vol. This is the first time Elizabethan has ever played in a state title game since 1939.
That's been that long?
It's been that long. Now, they've been – they went – this is the first time in when it's been called the TWSAA, which was in 69. But this is the first time they've played in a state championship since 39.
Now, where is Elizabethan located?
It's on the other side of Johnson City.
Okay, that makes sense. Because here's the thing, I've gone through there.
Yeah.
A lot of these towns and cities and so forth that I've gone through, not just in Tennessee, but also through the Southeast, a lot of them through because being on buses and traveling with basketball teams or whatever. So it's like, oh, there it is. But you sometimes you just forget. It's like, I know I've been there. Don't remember when or how. We have a lot of openings as far as college football right now. And Florida State, I know they're set up for an announcement to announce their new football coach. But it looks like no announcement is expected until this weekend. That mean that Mike Norvell? You know, after maybe first things first, got to take care of the American Athletic Conference championship game. And then maybe, just maybe there. But one thing, and we see this every year where you have programs like from a standpoint with Florida State with an opening, if you get your name linked to an opening like that, you get pay raises. So Matt Campbell got a nice raise with Iowa State. Don't know what's going on with James Franklin at Penn State. It doesn't look like the USC job is going to open up. And by the way, you know, after, you know, Southern Cal, they still have one more game to go. And then to start next year, they take on Alabama in a non-conference affair. So, but you wonder if they're going to do anything with regards to that. To the, I mean, everybody's just been speculating that that job was going to open up,
right?
And never did. And the funny thing is, if Utah had slipped up against Colorado last weekend, USC would have been playing for the Pac-12 championship.
Exactly.
But that didn't happen, and so you know, I. It's a team that's in the top 25. You know, sometimes we...
Lost their first two quarterbacks.
I mean, sometimes it's like, okay, I understand the expectations. When you're used to winning national titles, whatever, top 25 just isn't good enough. And I get that. And that's why you get a lot of the backlash. I mean, some of the crazy tweets that were out there after Alabama lost to Auburn. It's like, you know, first of all, they just set a record. And it wasn't even close. I think 8 weeks... They beat the previous record of consecutive weeks ranked in the top five. I mean, it was something like 62 or 64, if I remember correctly. And it's the new record, and they just fell out. But they're still in the top 10. But when you're talking about streaks like that, you know, it's not one of these things where your birthright that you're going to be in that position every week, every year. And think about it, too. Every year since 2011, except for two, Alabama's played for the national title. The only 2 years, 2013, and they would have in 13 if we'd had the college football playoff. It came a year late.
Right.
So 13 in this year. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
How many teams can say that? Nobody. Zero. Zippo. So, you know, it's like sometimes, you know, take a pause, appreciate what you do have, and don't be so greedy.
No.
Easier said than done as far as sports fans are concerned. Hey, look, yeah. And I should know as a longtime Jets sufferer, I should know about that. You know, I'm just, you know, I have my good and I have my, that's why, was it 3 years ago, I gave up being a fan of the Atlanta Hawks.
That's right, yeah.
I was a lifetime fan of the Hawks and I finally said enough.
No.
Just enough.
Apathy set in on you.
It's like I've had enough. 615-844-5600, Dr. Detroit in Nashville, welcome.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
We're
hey,
good.
First and foremost, yeah, I want to give credit. What a tremendous season for the Austin Peay Governors. That was top-notch from them.
Yeah.
They're still continuing, correct?
Really? That's right. They won their very first playoff game in the history of their program last week against Furman, and so this week they're on the road on Saturday night taking on Sacramento State.
Very promising, very promising. Well, good. I mean, you know, we're always talking about – well, we try to talk about all Middle Tennessee colleges and so forth. But speaking of Middle Tennessee, what happened to their season this year? What was the downfall?
Well, you know, obviously losing somebody like Brent Stockstill, you know, having to replace somebody like that at quarterback. Look, it just happens. It's tough for – I mean, they've been relevant as far as in the bowl hunt for – several years. And that's another program, too, with regards to Rick Stockstill. You know, you want more. Everybody wants more. More wins, more this, more that. I get it. But, you know, I honestly, as a whole, as a collective, you know, when you look at the entire body of work, you know, I really am a big believer in Rick Stockstill, head coach of the Blue Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, nothing against him. I mean, they've always been consistent, always. The quarterback, Stockwell, he's one of the elites of the elites. All right, here's what I'm afraid of, and I'll drop my call after this. You know, they ranked Louisville number one, and I'm like, man, I've had this game marked down on my schedule the whole entire season. You rank them number one before they play Michigan. I'm telling you, what I saw Friday down at the Bridgestone, they're still struggling, you know, on possessions, killing time off the clock when they've got a big lead, like they did against Duke, against Virginia, those teams where they just choked there at the end. So tonight might be a tale of a different story for Michigan being number four and number one. Thanks, Johnny. Appreciate it, buddy.
I appreciate it. I mean, the bottom line is it's great that you're number one if you're Louisville, and you're number one this week in the college, the men's basketball rankings in both the AP Top 25 and the coaches' poll. But does it really matter
at this point? Not in 1st of December, no.
I mean, you look at who's if you look at, the top five in the AP, it's Louisville, Kansas, Maryland, Michigan, Virginia, by the way, also getting votes, too. So they're in the – in that conversation as well. But then in the coaches poll, same situation with those teams. But I mean, honestly, you know, to me, that next group of five, just as impressive as that first group of five. If you can include from 6 to 10 teams like North Carolina, Duke, Gonzaga, Kentucky. Yeah. So the bottom line is with 340 plus teams now playing Division I basketball, does anybody remember, you know, when you're cutting down the nets in April, does anybody remember that at one point you were number one in the first part of December?
No.
Absolutely not.
Unless you're a fan of the team that was number one.
Yeah. Or if you've never been there before, then yes, that would be also the same thing. If Vanderbilt found itself in that position right now with what they've gone through, absolutely. Or say football factories find themselves in that position, then it's a different story. But from the Louisvilles of the world, Virginias, whatever, I mean, does it really truly matter at this point?
No.
Absolutely not. No. All right, coming up on the other side, what does matter for us is what's coming up at the end of the of December here in Nashville. What a great weekend. You go from the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl on December 30th, and then just a very festive atmosphere downtown with Keith Urban and the gang there at the Bicentennial Mall there, ringing in the new year. So many things going on as we wrap up December. Talk more about that on the other side of the break. Scott Ramsey, president and CEO of the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl, also the Nashville Sports Council as well. He's coming up. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. We're watching the move this wreck here on 65 northbound just past OHB in the Brentwood area. Yes, it's heavy going southbound back into Williamson County. Bell Road near I-24, that's an accident just occurred. 440 eastbound is already busy now trying to get through that construction zone down to the 65 split. If you're looking for holiday cash, Choice Cash has a way to borrow up to $10,000. Call Choice Cash right now, 1-800-658-9816. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
I'm Eric Oprun, Managing Director of the Omni Nashville Hotel. I want to personally invite you to experience the local flavor of Music City at our award-winning property. From our one-of-a-kind culinary outlets to the ultimate luxury of our full-service Mokara Spa, Omni Nashville offers something for everyone. Whether it's the Biscuit Bar in our Southern-inspired Kitchen Notes restaurant or our upscale Honky Tonk bar lines, or if you prefer a romantic dinner, visit Bob's Steak and Chop House. Come on down and see us at 250 Fifth Avenue South, located in the heart of the SoBro District.
It may not require a textbook, but it's filled with valuable lessons. It may not take place in a classroom, but it's an ideal environment for learning. It may not involve a diploma, but it can help prepare Tennessee's young people for life. It's high school sports. High school sports can play a critical role in a student's overall education. In fact, studies show that students that participate in high school sports are more likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in their academic lives. If you think high school sports are only about competition, think again. Better yet, think about attending a high school sporting event in your community. You'll be amazed by what you see. High school sports, a winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Hey, my friend's company spent 3 days cleaning up an email phishing attack that targeted several dozen employees.
Yeah, if just one malicious email slips through, an attack can spread quickly and do serious damage.
What if that happens to us?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda Forensics and Incident Response.
So we're good?
Yes. With fast automated response and remediation, all traces of the attack can be removed in less than 5 minutes.
Wow, that's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Don't forget, coming your way tonight at 6, another edition of Prednik Nation Radio with Crazy Charlie Sonnier and his guests, getting you ready for tonight's action. Downtown Nashville, Bridgestone Arena, as the Predators taking on Tampa Bay. But prior to that, once again, Prednik Nation Radio coming your way tonight from 6 to 7 right here on Nashville Sports Radio. Time to go back to the hotline. Scott Ramsey, president and CEO of the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl and the Nashville Sports Council as well. Scott, as always, welcome back. Hope you and your family had a great Thanksgiving weekend.
We did. I hope you as well, Johnny. Thanks.
All right, big question. We had Monday Night Raw here in town last night. Before we get into what's happening at the end of the month here in Nashville, how are plans being worked out as far as bringing WrestleMania here to Nashville?
I tell you though, it's one, and I told you this before. One, I'd really like to see our city host. It's an unbelievable event that takes over every aspect of the city, and economic impact and tourism impact is off the charts. So we're trying. They don't plan many years out. With our hotels and convention center, you need the arena, you need the stadium, you need a lot of facilities to coordinate an event of that size. Some people kind of laugh about it, but it is a major impact event and one that's always on our radar to kind of continue to chase.
All right, let's turn our attention to this year's Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. One of our listeners had a couple of questions. First, is the Music City Bowl locked with the ACC and the Gator Bowl locked with the Big Ten this year?
Well, I would never use the word locked because I think when we created the deal that we wanted to create maximum flexibility to have hopefully a selection process that benefited both cities and both conferences in nearly every year, and it has. But the intent of the agreement would direct us to the ACC this year and Jacksonville to the Big Ten, as the premise of the agreement was to have three years of each conference in each city. We've had three Big Ten so far. We've had two ACC, Notre Dame and Louisville, in the first 2 years. So, you know, and with all intent to honor those agreements, then yes, we would be aligned in those ways. However, we've all, in the very beginning when negotiated, we did kind of leave ourselves an out to say, hey, if we just had a matchup that just didn't make sense or was a really hard fit or is a repeat or a rematch, we could all check off and move the other direction. So we'll see how that plays out. But I would say, for the most part, we've always been somewhat more focused on the ACC this year to fulfill the intent of the agreement.
All right, so last week the SEC had some good news, had some bad news. The good news, Mississippi State, with the win in the Egg Bowl, became bowl eligible. The bad news is that Missouri lost their appeal, and so they're ineligible for postseason. So with that being said, 9 teams from the SEC are bowl eligible and ready for the pool. How does that impact not only the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl, but some of the other bowls as well?
Well, it's simply numbers. I think it's a very hard process to explain to people now, even though we've been into it for 6 years, that there's a real equality in the bowls, and the process is really designed to really try to put the best team in the best location in the best year possible. And it really keeps some fresh matchups out there. So I'll just go back a couple, 3 years ago, it was probably 16 maybe, where the pool had eight teams to pick for five bowls. That gives you a lot of options and a lot of flexibilities. Multiple teams could fit into different cities and different matchups, and you really could do a lot of creative things as far as, boy, if we had Team X or Team Y, we could do that. So this year, depending on how many teams, based on not just tonight's ranking, but more importantly the final ranking from the CFP committee on Sunday, could dictate either three or four SEC teams into the New Year's Six. So we could have as little as five teams or as little as four teams in a pool of five bowls. So you just don't have as much flexibility to kind of mix and match, because there'll be some teams in there that very recently played in some of the bowls or just couldn't repeat. So, you know, it's a matter of numbers, and certainly the more the better, because it gives you options, just like in anything. But this year we're just going to have to work through it, and hopefully all the bowls can remain as healthy as possible and really have some good matchups despite the lack of numbers.
Scott Ramsey joining us again. I look at the, let's just say from a recruiting standpoint in athletics, you can recruit up to a certain point, then you get the dead period, and then you wait to see which individuals are going to be coming to play and continue their career with your particular institution. I bring this up as far as from the standpoint of whatever input that you and everybody associated with the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl, or other bowls for that matter too, is there a point where, okay, we've got everything we need from you, and then we'll be making our final decisions coming up on Sunday? Or is it some cases, does this come up to the very last minute as far as some of this decision making?
It does, and it has, and it can. I would characterize a little bit like what we talk about with our staff. In our world, of our business, there are things that we can control, and certainly we can control how we run the event, how we operate the event, how we can continue to do the things that we do better, and how we can continue to promote our city, our sponsor, and all the great things going on in Nashville. That we can control. Then there's some things that we can influence. We hopefully that we've influenced the perception of wanting to come to Nashville as much as you want to go to any other cities for a bowl destination or for a sporting event, for that matter, at all. And then, you know, there's a second layer of influencing. You're trying to convince the decision makers that we're the right place for them in certain years. So the influence is across the board. And then there's some things where you can't control or influence, that you have to react to. And a lot of times in sports, that's the key. And are we prepared on those other things to control and influence, what could be on the rankings, or one could be one loss or win that we can't control on the field, but it could dictate the combination of teams that we could look at. So it could come down to Sunday. It has several years. I've gone into some years thinking, man, I went to sleep Saturday night knowing exactly who we're going to have, and we didn't have either team on Sunday. So
wow.
Things can change at the last minute based on either one change in decision, one upset that you didn't expect, or in this case now that a committee ranks them, the rankings can dictate some of the things that happen above you can't control. So, it's exciting. It's also very nerve-wracking to try to plan for that, so we're ready to go on Sunday. We've got a lot of scenarios on our plate right now.
Having a chance once again to visit with Scott Ramsey, President and CEO of the Nashville Sports Council and the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. I've never asked you this question, and I'm curious, especially now when we talk about Nashville being a great city as far as a destination city to come visit, and here we are talking about the 22nd annual Music City Bowl as well. But, from a standpoint, I'll use an example. Sometimes there's companies where you have somebody doing the best job with the resources that they have, and so upper management sees that and go, well, they don't need any more help, so we're going to, keep throwing good money at bad situations trying to bring them up. I bring it up because, you know, with Nashville, because of all the hard work, and there's so many individuals, so many businesses, so many volunteers that have put Nashville in this situation, I wonder for, you know, we talk about keeping the bowls healthy across the landscape, where it could hurt, you know, like your particular bowl, for example, because, well, we know that Nashville, people will come to Nashville no matter what, you know, no matter what two teams are there. Let's try to help, you know, boost up another bowl in another city. Do you ever face that?
Well, it's a good question. I don't know if we faced it from that perspective. I think I still feel like a little bit of an underdog, you know, in some of this. And the perception that, you know, from 30 years ago when there were only 15 games, you know, the Florida, the Southern California, the Phoenix, the Dallas, the New Orleans, the destinations that you grew up with, or our generation grew up with, still today kind of has that perception over maybe some newer markets like Atlanta, Nashville, maybe Orlando a little bit. Vegas is going to have a great destination with a new stadium. You know, some of us that have kind of emerged, you still feel like a little bit of an underdog. And I think that mentality has always been us. And I think we've always just kind of kept our head down and do the things that we do well. I think we've been benefited a little bit, Johnny, on that, in that the fan reaction to coming here has bubbled up to the decision makers, saying, man, you know, I can take a lot of fans. We can create a great environment for our university. We can create a great environment for our players. And, you know, that means a lot in this particular, in the bowl scenarios and for events in general. So, you know, I think with the change of people wanting to hop in their car, have a short flight geographically and as a destination for fun for 3 or 4 days, I think Nashville has really kind of emerged. And hopefully we can take advantage of that and kind of continue to build on it.
You know, and this may be down the road, you know, 8, 10 years, 15 years, whatever the case may be, but looking at the future of the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl, as far as potentially one day being in that conversation for one of the, you know, the New Year Day bowl games, for example, and getting in that conversation about, you know, potentially being a host site for one of the playoff games, is that something down the road it's certainly a possibility for what you and your staff and the city is involved with?
Well, I think so. I don't think we've ever shied away from pursuing a big event and thinking big. And I think the opportunity to host maybe a national championship game, you know, here in Nashville is certainly a very doable event for us. You know, I think there's some factors right now that are probably limiting us a little bit. When you look at the domes and you look at the controlled environments of some locations, given, you know, the middle of January weather. You know, that's, again, one thing I can't control, but we could control. We've got everything but, and I certainly know we could host that event. So I think when you look down the road, I think the pump the brakes comment is, let's wait and see how they restructure or if they do expand the playoff beyond this next contract period in 2025. We just finalized our next 6-year agreement. We're moving up in the selection order with the Big Ten. We're going to go exclusively Big Ten SEC. We'll have some of the best matchups in the next 6 years that we've seen, at least on the national perspective, rank, because we'll have a lot of ranked teams, I believe, come in here. You know, and that'll kind of build, and we'll see how what position we're in to chase, quote unquote, you know, New Year Six / national championship kind of competition, you know, in 4 or 5 years when they start opening up and looking at the next cycle.
By the way, if for some reason Georgia surprises LSU and the SEC gets two teams like they did 2 years ago in the 4-team playoff, how does that impact the selections as far as the Music City Bowl?
Well, I think the impact, Johnny, is going to be more in where the final ranking of 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 are. And, you know, that's going to impact whether the SEC gets 3 or 4 into the New Year Six, more important than the top four. You know, I just, it's the way it's been, you know, in most years, because some of those at large or contractually replaced spots are tied to the rank order of the CFP. this particular case, the very large, the last pick will be the at-large selection in the Cotton Bowl, and that'll be after, you know, six conferences fill their contracted slot. So where that 8, 9, 10, 11 ranking is going to be as important to us, or maybe more important than the top four.
And I don't know. I mean, I know you can't really comment on it, but, you know, looking at it from an SEC standpoint, I would probably say at this point, Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi State, probably in that order, representing
the
SEC.
Well, I don't know in the order, Johnny, but I certainly think those three are the only really ones that make logical sense for us, given that we had Auburn last year. And I just, you know, we had a great experience with Texas A&M a few years ago. I don't feel like they're probably a better fit over one of those three you mentioned this year, given the other cities like Houston and some of those that are involved with the bowl system or the pool system. You know, I certainly think everybody circled Tennessee. I mean, you know, this year, I mean, you talk about catching a team on an uptick, regardless of record. You know, I don't think you see many of those, you know, five in a row, six out of seven, kind of have opportunities to do that. And I think everybody feels that way. You know, I think Kentucky is a great story. We had Kentucky a couple years ago. They played here a couple weeks ago. You know, that might be something where they feel like, you know, maybe it's time to take a little break from Nashville. So we'll have those conversations the next 3 or 4 days, and we'll see kind of where the matchups fall. I don't think we can go wrong with any three of those, and we'll see kind of how it plays out.
One of the things that's always a nice selling point from a coaching standpoint is the fact that all you got to do is just look at it, and maybe it's just luck, but whatever the reasons, just like Auburn last year, you know, teams that usually win the Music City Bowl end up using that as a stepping stone for the next year. We saw it with Auburn this year. They're 9-3. Their only three losses were to three teams currently ranked in the top nine in the country. Not too shabby there, but that has just been one of those historic trends with the Music City Bowl.
Really has. No, you're right. And, again, that's why I think, you know, sometimes the records, given the selection, is less important than a matchup. You know, I think they're between 7-8 wins in the conferences. Sometimes a matter of how hard your non-conference schedule is, or, you know, one missed field goal or something. So we've certainly had our share of launching pad kind of games and teams over the years, and, you know, we may have another one this year.
Before we let you go, remind the listeners again, especially if they have out-of-town friends, visitors wanting to come as far as and partake not just in the game but all the events associated with the Music City Bowl, how they can get ticket and travel packages.
Yeah, jump on musiccitybowl.com, and this is the year to do it. You know, we're Monday, December 30th, 3 o'clock game, but we're going to have a fan zone down on Broadway covering three blocks on Sunday. Battle of Bands concerts free Sunday night downtown, game at 3 o'clock, concert after the game, free cooking and a chili cook-off on Broadway. So what a great week to come down, and a long weekend between Saturday and then the end of the first to come down and enjoy college football and all that Nashville's got to offer.
5 days away, we'll know who's playing. So, but until then, I know that this year's event, just like previous events, going to be very special, going to be very memorable, especially for the visitors and the teams associated with the event. But hats off to you as always, and we appreciate you taking time out with us, Scott.
Well, I appreciate it, Johnny. Thanks, and we'll talk to you next week.
Look forward to it. Thank you again.
That's
Scott Ramsey, President and CEO of the Nashville Sports Council and the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. Coming up, we'll wrap up hour number one. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. It's busy out here on the South Loop, the West Loop. Just trying to get out of the downtown area as we look at it live here on 65 back down into Brentwood. That's very heavy. Crash with injuries tying up the 3500 block of Murfreesboro Pike. Also a wreck being cleared 5600 block of Granny White Pike. 40 East starting to bog down at 840 headed back towards Lebanon. If you're looking for some holiday cash, Choice Cash has a way to borrow up to $10,000. Call Choice Cash 1-800-658-9816. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
This is NASCAR's Champions Week for the Cup Series, and it marks the first year in quite a while that it won't be held in Las Vegas, but rather Nashville, Tennessee. The week, or 3 days actually, is going to feature NASCAR Night at the Opry, autograph sessions, burnouts on Broadway, that is going to be wicked cool, a fan fest, the awards red carpet, and of course, the 2019 NASCAR Cup Series Awards Banquet from Music City Center, hosted by Cassidy Pope and Rutledge Wood. So that's going to be fun. Not to give anything away, but I think I already know who the champion is. Kyle Larson took the victory at the Turkey Night Grand Prix in Ventura, California, taking the lead with 11 laps to go to notch his third career win in that event. He's been winning a lot here in the offseason, notching victories at the Hangtown 100 and in Bakersfield. Daniel Hemric and his wife Kenzie, also a racer, are expecting their first child, making the announcement on Thanksgiving with a pillow that read, "The turkey ain't the only thing in the oven." Baby Hemric is going to arrive in May, so congratulations goes out to them. Christopher Bell is on, and he recalls all the last times at the end of the season.
It was tough. Like, my last, I just kind of savored every moment of, you know, my last time sitting in an Xfinity car, my last time going to the races, my last time flying with this group of people. So it was an emotional week for sure. Or I get the vibe that I'm not an Xfinity driver anymore.
The final lap.
It's the Built for the Holiday sales event at Ford. It's a big deal, and we're busy making preparations to get you the best deals of the year. Because unlike Santa's presents, ours just don't magically appear. At Ford, ours are built in real factories, where pickup trucks come with best-in-class payload, where SUVs are built with available features like terrain management and driver assist technologies, and where you can get 20% estimated savings on select Ford SUVs and trucks. You don't have to write Santa a letter to get these presents, naughty or nice. Just come see your Ford dealer during our holiday sales event. Best in class payload when properly configured. Classes light duty pickups under 8,500 pounds GVWR based on Ford segmentation. Eligible in select 2019 model year vehicles. Vehicle must have arrived at dealer at least 61 days prior to the sale date. Estimated savings include an average dealer discount based on a sales survey of average discounts offered by Ford dealers nationally. Discount may vary. Dealer determines price. For all offers, take new retail delivery from an authorized Ford dealer stock by 1-2-2020. See participating dealer for complete details.
Let's observe the inflatable noodle man. His constant undulating entices people to look at me, he's tireless and brainless, a literal airhead. Curiously, however, the inflatable noodle man, when hearing that Geico not only saves people money, but also has an award-winning app that makes it easy to manage one's policy, he knows you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Just ask an inflatable noodle man. Carefully, they are unpredictable creatures.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. This afternoon, we'll have a mix of clouds and sun with a high of 48. Partly cloudy tonight, low 32. Wednesday, sunny, high 56. Sunny Thursday, high 56. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. 615-844-5600. Hawkeye Jason and Smyrna, welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon, Johnny.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
So I work. I'm done with working on the budget for 2020, and the company I work for, they're going to cut a check for a National Sports Council next year. So it's nice to see the company I work for do that, and just wanted to pass that along.
They do such an outstanding job, and you know it's. And then when you think about all the volunteers, all the big companies, the small companies that get involved, you can certainly see the differences over the last 20 plus years. What everybody, you know, working together. And just all these different events that come to town 12 months out of the year.
Correct. And I loved your first question that you asked was about WrestleMania. Like I said, you know, sometimes people can kind of laugh at it. But honestly, within the past couple of weeks, I either listened to a podcast or heard something on the radio about economic impact of WrestleMania with New Orleans, for example. So New Orleans has hosted a Super Bowl and a WrestleMania, probably,
right.
I think, within the 5 years. And they said the economic impact of the Super Bowl is $480 million. You know, Super Bowl is really a two-week event. WrestleMania is $175 million.
Oh, it's nothing to sneeze at.
No, it's nothing to sneeze at there. And on top of that, I don't think cities, I'm not sure how the whole bidding process works for that, but yeah, that's real dollars there.
And I'm trying to remember which one, but when it was the big one in the late 80s, but I grew up a fan of wrestling when I was a kid and used to
watch. Pontiac Silverdome may be the one you're thinking of.
Well, no, but I used to watch like the as far as from a local standpoint, the Southern Tour. But no, there was one of the regional tours that came to Nashville. And, you know, I thought, I'll go. And look, I'm not a diehard wrestling fan per se. But I was entertained. I mean, if just from a pure entertainment standpoint, they make sure you get your money's worth.
Correct. Yep. Crazy Charlie and John Burton can attest to that. You know, both of them being, you know, former pro wrestlers.
Right. Exactly.
So, and not like I said, I'm not sure how much time you guys have left there. But like I said, I think with the whole bowl process, it really is. It's really Tuesday night. I think a lot of us are going to pay attention to see what the rankings are going to be tonight. And it really depends on how that top 12 is and how everything trickles down. Like the Orange Bowl, for example, they're going to lose Clemson to the playoffs, odds are. And so they got an ACC slot, and they're going to take an 8-4 Virginia team. And it's just, you know, you get conferences and bowl affiliations, and sometimes that can be good, and sometimes it's not so good.
We'll bring it up. We'll talk more about it next hour. Appreciate your phone call, Hawkeye Jason. All right, hour number one in the books. Hour number two coming up. Don't forget, from 6 to 7 tonight as well, Prednik Nation Radio with Crazy Charlie Sagne and his guest. All that still to come tonight right here on Nashville Sports Radio.